Hello and welcome to Automation Chat. I'm Teresa Hauck, executive editor of the Journal from Rockwell Automation and our partner Network Magazine. In this episode, we're doing something a little different. We're sharing a guest episode from our sister publication, Control Magazine. Rockwell Automation just released its 9th annual State of Manufacturing Report, and for its Control Intelligence podcast, Control Vice President and Group Publisher Keith Larson did a great interview with Jerry Abbey, Rockwell Automation Manager of Analysts, Relations, and Insights, to talk about the results. You'll learn how Gen AI rocketed up the technology priority list, why cobots, AMRs, AGVs, and wearables rank highly for technology investments, and a lot more. But before I dive in, it's time for our family-friendly, silly joke of the day. I once swallowed a bunch of synonyms. It gave me the sorest throat I've ever had. All right, here's our guest Control Intelligence episode about the State of Smart Manufacturing report.
Hello, this is Keith Larson, group publisher and market lead for Control Magazine and controlglobal.com. Welcome to this Solution Spotlight episode of our Control Amplified podcast, sponsored today by Rockwell Automation. With me today to talk about today's release of Rockwell's 9th annual State of Smart Manufacturing report is Jerry Abbey, manager of analyst relations and insights for Rockwell Automation. Welcome, Jerry. A real pleasure to chat with you today, and congratulations on the release of this report.
Thank you, Keith. It's a pleasure to be here. It was a fun project to work on this report like every year, and I'm really excited to dive into the insights because there's a lot of awesome data and feedback within it.
Yeah, great. Before we really dig into the findings, can you kind of give our listeners a sense of the purpose of this report? I mean, nine years, you know, what's been the purpose as it has evolved over the time? But also the scale and the composition of those surveyed for the report and how that's evolved over the years.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a fun history. So this report came to Rockwell through the Plex acquisition. When Plex originally started, it was to survey customers and get feedback that we could tie into our product development and also share as a benchmark with the overall industry. And over time, we evolved it, found more value in partnering with an external firm where we can run it as a third-party unbiased research and get a better understanding and gauge for the market. Because, of course, our customers who are already up to speed and running our technology were a little more advanced than others that might have been paper-based at the time. That's continued to evolve over the years, and our latest edition is now comprehensive, covering the full breadth and depth of the Rockwell portfolio, looking at how the manufacturing industry is experiencing technology, how they are adopting it, setting roadmaps, and planning and adapting for the future for their workforce. The data set this year, we have 1,567 global respondents across 17 countries. That's up over 200 respondents and 4 countries from last year. We really continue to evolve it and look for ways that we can add more value. And it's a great piece to talk about externally and have conversations, thought leadership, and really think about where the industry is going. But it's as much a great piece for us internally because we want customer inputs, buyer inputs, to drive how we develop products, how we think about our own future, and where everyone is experiencing technology. And honestly, in the years that I've done this, this is my third iteration personally, this has been the most exciting year because of the changes we've seen, especially with Gen AI, artificial intelligence, this last year.
Yeah, you must have been reading my questions because that was that was my next question. Not that we've collaborated before, but AI and specifically Gen AI, We're all the rage in 2023. That would probably be the year that we really noticed that, and probably when you gathered your data for this as well. And clearly, industrial decision makers haven't been blind to its possible ramifications. What does the survey say? Are industry decision makers on board, or do the naysayers outnumber them?
Very much on board. So for the survey respondents, pretty good spread from manager to C-suite. And 88% of the respondents either share or have solo responsibility for decision making. So I just want to preface my answer with that. And decision makers are diving straight in. 83% anticipate using Gen AI in operations this year. And of those that have already started using it, it's in operations, they ranked it as the second highest for ROI, which is really impactful, even if, and it's likely, some of that is a little bit of hype and just real enthusiasm in there. It's still really significant when you think about 1,567 global respondents being that strongly behind it.
Yeah, that is much higher than I would have suspected, actually, especially for people with a lot to lose out of the corner office up high to dive in like that, no doubt. I also noticed that an appreciation for cybersecurity seems to be finally gaining some increased attention, ranked only by what, inflation and rising energy costs as external risk to growth. Can you unpack that a little bit? I mean, it can't just be that supply chains have settled down finally, so that's why I got up to number three. What else is going on, do you think?
This is one of the most satisfying things, I think, to see in the report this year, because cybersecurity is starting, just starting to really get its due.
Yeah.
It is vitally important for the manufacturing community. There are probably hundreds of reports out there. I've read at least dozens of how cybersecurity is impacting manufacturers, how ransomware attacks and other attacks are inducing downtime and hitting manufacturers so hard to the point that doors are getting closed. And if you look at the stats that are out there and think about how impactful this is, it's really important to see that it's ranked third in risks for this year. And really important to see the other stats around that, that it's in the top five for so many different questions as a top of mind topic for manufacturers as they go into 2024 to really future-proof their organization, recruit for cybersecurity skills, and think about the technology they're adopting in terms of cybersecurity and what that technology can bring to secure their operations in a really meaningful way.
Couple other stats that jumped out at me were, seemed almost a superficial contradiction. I think it was 94% expect to maintain or grow their workforce as a result of smart manufacturing tech adoption, up from 89% last year. And meanwhile, those same underlying technology investments are expected to grow from 23% of operating budgets up to 30%. So it's tech or people, or is it really both increasing?
100%. And it, like, later in the report, there's one slide that is vividly in my mind right now about the top level takeaway that we see is leaders are balancing people and process first, and then bringing technology in as an amplifier. They see the skills gap, the labor shortage. Each operation is uniquely different, but there are these common themes impacting them. And the top level view when we look at this data is that they're looking to bring technology in to amplify and augment the impact of the workers they have. And also, when you think about competitive positioning, being able to bring that technology in and show it to people that you're trying to recruit, that they're going to gain value and skills and contribute to something more than just the old manufacturing world, that dank, dirty, repetitive job. Mm-hmm. They're working with new technologies and creating and being able to give feedback and suggest changes because they have real-time data in front of them on the screen and can see how one choice can impact the output.
Well, I think I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about industry's efforts to digitally transform into a more sustainable version of itself as well, probably the other big trend and much longer running than AI, frankly. But are there signs that we're finally getting more serious about climate change and other aspects of ESG?
Huge signs. So we had the strongest response to date. 98% of the 1,567 respondents said that they have a policy of some sort. for sustainability in the industry, mm-hmm. whether formal or informal. Almost half of our respondents said that they had a company-wide global policy across the organization. That's really promising to see because there are more and more regulations coming in, putting pressure on organizations. And whether you think those regulations are going to impact you or not, there's the direct impact and there's an indirect impact. And your suppliers, your customers may have made big, bold net zero goals and they're going to be held accountable. And guess what? That trickles down to your operation. So I think it's incredibly promising to see the high numbers of policies in place and highly encourage organizations to continue down that path. Because the number one and two reasons that our respondent poll identified pursuit of sustainability in the ESG, number one, improving efficiencies. I love the manufacturing industry. I have read tons of books about the history and back 300 years from the beginning of manufacturing time, modern manufacturing time, you're looking for improved efficiency. That is a core piece of manufacturing. It's part of sustainability in ESG. And another core piece, number two, it's a competitive differentiator. Those are two very impactful business reasons, and I see sustainability in ESG as mainstream and gaining more and more attention.
Yeah, I think it's more of a, as much as anything else, it's a peer play as well. When you think about if you look at scope 3 emissions, all of a sudden my customers are demanding this of me, you know, no matter what Uncle Sam thinks, it's going to be a peer play of business benefit and competitive advantage as well.
I think that's absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned the 300 years of manufacturing here. I was thinking back to the beginning of this survey that you did 9 years ago. Industry 4.0 was relatively brand new as a term, and digital transformation too were kind of the catchwords of the time. Are there other significant shifts in sentiment that you really see over the course of this 10 years, looking at the big picture? What else has changed that maybe we haven't touched on?
So honestly, like mentioning history, some of the biggest changes is technology. People are always struggling and with skilled workforce in some way, supply chain in some way, especially today. And getting employees to use the technology and come at it with a change mentality. And again, looking at the data, especially this year, I think we're seeing a stronger response around understanding that importance for people and process. Change management being the number one workforce obstacle identified by the respondents. So like very honed in on understanding how to make technology successful when they adopt it and bring it in. And there's a ton of other data points talking about upskilling, reskilling, just providing the basic skills and understanding. And leaders, those in the industry that will be most successful, see this vividly and build in a change mentality rather than a change management 1 to 3 year, 5 year project.
Yeah.
Technology is always changing. Everybody wants to harness it. It is the competitive differentiator if you're able to bring it in and use it effectively. And if you have a change culture, you're going to be the leader.
Makes a lot of sense. I think we're about up out of time here. So thanks so much, Jerry, for sharing so many of the key insights that this latest State of Smart Manufacturing survey reveals. For those of our listeners who want to download a copy of the full report, where should they go to find that report now that it's live?
Right on rockwell.com. You'll see it right at the top of the page and you can click, download it. There's some webinars that will be accompanying it. So I encourage everybody to take a look, join the webinars to get all the data unpacked for you. And Keith, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Well, you bet. And for those of you listening, thanks for tuning in. Thanks also to Rockwell Automation for sponsoring this episode. My name's Keith Larson, and you've been listening to a Control Amplified podcast. Thanks for joining us. And if you've enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll subscribe at iTunes, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else you manage your podcast feeds. Plus, you can find the full archive of past episodes online at controlglobal.com. signing off until next time.
If you enjoy Automation Chat, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. Thank you so much for listening.